The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
So good to be here again today. We began a program on the second day of the week in the morning, discovering your unique advantage. Somehow, Pastor Yemi was not able to make it. Pastor Ben will give us the update on that. However, we had discovering your unique advantage, and it was something else. It was something else. And then on the first day, the second day, and then yesterday, we were dealing with the key to wholeness. And the first day, we are dealing with understanding inner healing. And today, we are looking at how to walk on your destiny. The Bible says, walk out your salvation with trembling and fear. Yes, you are born again. You have received salvation. But there is work to do. And the work we are doing is not to buy the salvation. The work we are doing is what the Lord has done inside us, to bring it out so that human beings can see. Because the Bible says, let your light shine, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your life will give God glory. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're looking at the fear of exposure. The question is this: how come people wrestle with one thing, who they are? We wrestle with knowing who we are. We wrestle with feeling and accepting who we are. Where did it come from? It came from one thing, the fall of man. When we started discussing understanding inner healing, you saw the three reasons why we will need inner healing. The first came from the fall of man. When man fell, his will was fractured. It affected his body. And then some people have sinned against you. You became bitter. And then some of the other ones have to do with the decisions you made by yourself. Going from there to where we are now, why do we wrestle with accepting who we are? Who did God say we are? Who did he call us? Genesis chapter 1 from verse 27. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them. He began to describe, let them be fruitful, let them multiply, let them subdue, let them replenish. One word, let them have dominion. It is our dominion that gives God praise. Why do we wrestle? God says, you're a classroom teacher. I say, God forbid, I can't be a classroom teacher. God says, we used to call it PE, physical education. Say, God forbid. Some of us wanted to read medicine by all means. Especially when, if you're a medical doctor where I came from, everybody will respect you. And some of us wanted to be reverend sister by all means. If you're a reverend sister, everybody there will respect your mother. So even at the convent, they say, no, you are not supposed to be reverend sister. This is not who you're supposed to be. We chase you out of this place. How many of us are still battling with accepting the person God has called you to be? And God says, you will stay, you'll be a stay-at-home mom. Your job is to raise mighty warriors from you. Say, God forbid. The woman who is at home is useless. She doesn't have anything she's doing. Therefore, I can't be that. The whole thing comes from the point when man fell, everything fell. Our way was fractured, our body was fractured, and this happened. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. At what point did you start being afraid? We used to have sweet fellowship. The Father will come down from heaven and then sit down with Adam, and they will be talking. Adam didn't have any problem. There was no fear. Adam was not afraid. In fact, Adam looked forward to it. This particular point in time, God has come. Adam, where are you? Adam said, one, I heard the sound of your voice. I heard the sound of you in the garden. Before now, when you hear the sound of me, you move towards me. How come you're hearing the sound of me and you're moving away from me? It happens all the time. Have you noticed that sometimes when you have fallen, when you have done the things you think that is below your destiny, what happens is you stay away from church, you stay away from prayer, you stay away from the word, you stay away from everything that has to do with the presence of God. It didn't start with you, it started with your forefathers. I heard the sound of you and I ran. Not only did he run, he said, I was afraid. The sound of me is not supposed to bring fear. The sound of me is supposed to bring love. How come the sound of me is bringing fear now? What happened? What went wrong? And Adam said, I'm naked. Excuse me, Adam. All the time you have been in this place, you have been naked. You have always been naked. You didn't know you were naked. How did you discover you are naked? Ladies and gentlemen, the relationship we have with God covers us from all our shortcomings and all our inadequacies. The tendency is this. The moment you become aware of your shortcomings, the moment you become aware of your failure, the first thing you will do is there will be shame and you will start hiding. Adam did not hide as long as the glory of God covered him. The moment that glory was not there, he looked at himself and he discovered he's naked. Ladies and gentlemen, the glory of God is our natural habitat. And it comes because we have a relationship with him. When you have relationship with someone, what is on the person falls upon you. Adam was defining himself by God's glory, not by his experiences. The moment we fall, the moment we sin, the first thing you discover is that you will look at yourself and never look at yourself the way God sees you. You look at yourself and define yourself from everything that is happening around you. Question is, Adam, where are you? That wasn't a question to scare Adam. That was a question of, Adam, I always come here to look for you. And when I come here, I see you. How come I've come this time, you are not here? All God wanted Adam to do was to say, no, this is not who I am. This is not who I am created to be. And look again for God. Now, Adam resorted to his own strength. What he did, what the glory of God was doing for him, he decided to do it by himself. Before this time, it was the glory that was covering him. The moment the glory left, he created an artificial thing to cover himself. I speak over you. What God is supposed to do for you, may you not take over God's work. Before now, it was the fig tree created by God that covered Adam. Now, Adam is living in shame. He still has to be covered. So he has to create something by himself to cover himself. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of us have created fig trees to cover who we are? How many of us have created an artificial security to be able to meet the needs that God is supposed to meet for us? Let's go. Jesus knew that the Father has put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. Ladies and gentlemen, what's your sense of security? What is it that makes you feel valued, significant, important? The moment you discover that you are the most powerful person in a place, how will you behave? The moment you discover that everybody here, when you say jump, they will say how high, what will you do with that power? When Jesus discovered, I have so much power, I can do everything here, he used it to serve. It takes a man who has security to serve others when you know you have power. What happens is, your relationship with God is your greatest source of security. If that relationship is not intact, what will happen is you will use every other thing to create security, just like Adam decided to use fig tree to create security. When God created man, he put man in relationship with him. So that it is that relationship that fuels your self-esteem. It is not your external appearance. It is not your accomplishment. It is not your star performance. It is not your recognition. Every of these things are fig trees if you use them to create value and significance. If it is preaching that makes me have security, it means I don't have relationship with God. If it is the cars that make you have security, you don't have relationship with God. The fact about it is that we must come to that point where you know, no matter that, you can take anything from me, but you can't take my relationship with my Father, because I didn't buy the relationship, it was given to me. Jesus discovered, I am the most powerful person. He became vulnerable. He said, listen, I can lord it over you, but I don't want to do that. I want to be vulnerable before you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you how to behave when you discover you have so much power. How to behave when you discover that everybody is at your beck and call. The best way to behave is to bend down and use your power to serve everybody. It takes a change of perspective for that to happen. Listen, it takes a different kind of mindset to know that I'm in charge and use my position to serve others. It doesn't happen naturally. It's not something that the natural mind can create. See, if the policeman stands and decides he has gone, and all of you here are under his authority, how will he behave? If you discover that you have a domestic staff, that if you chase her out of your house, she will really not have any place to go to. She won't have anybody to send her to school. She won't have clothes. She won't have food. How will you behave? Sometimes we take advantage of people because we discover we have power over them. It's insecurity. Let's move on. There are some things that when you see them in your life, what you will know, something is suffering. He says, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes, divided lives, small-mindedness, loop-sided pursuits. All these things are not supposed to be found in our lives. These are all fig trees. It's an outside security that you use to cover yourself when the real security is not there. Listen, Jesus was secure in himself. He knew, I have relationship with the Father. And that's from that relationship I serve. When I serve you, it doesn't make me small. It doesn't mean I don't have value. It just means that I have come to add value to you because that's who I am. Man was created to add value every time. And what makes you add value is what I want to tell you. You can add value from performing. I can perform to gain recognition. I can add value through that. I'm performing. I can add value through, I want to get something from you. So I will do everything. I will bootleg. I will lie down on the floor. I will be who I am not because I want to get something from you. The moment I get that thing, I return back to who I am. You see, that is victory. I want to pass my exams so I can sleep with the lecturer. How I do it is not important. The most important is that I pass my exams. How do we remain who we are while we serve every other person? If you see any of this in your life, it means that you are no longer who you are supposed to be. And who you are supposed to be is your relationship with God. Let's move on. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Have you noticed that some people, anything that is happening, they turn into a fight. Anything that is happening, you greeted me, fight. You didn't greet me, fight. In fact, you can see two people discussing. You pass. You end up saying, it's me they are talking about. And without them knowing, you keep malice with them. That's not who you are created to be. Uncontrolled and controllable addictions. Mm-hmm. Ugly paradox of community. That's party spirit. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you. You know, if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Let's talk about your identity. In the light of these discussions we have had, there are two basic equations of self-esteem, self-worth, and identity. The first one, how does the world define self-worth? My performance. And what other people think about my performance. In other words, who I am is based on what Mercy thinks about me. It's based on what Jennifer thinks about me. If they think I am good, then I am good. If they don't think I am good, then I am not good. You know what happens? You have become someone else. Because it is my performance that makes me valuable. Not my relationship with God. Not who I am in the context of relationship with God. It is my performance. So I can do anything to perform. I can do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. I can have the wrong motives, the worst of motives, and have the best of actions. You see my actions and you praise my actions, but what is the reason behind the actions? Why do you want to date the boy? Why do you want to date the girl? It's all about the heart. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So no matter how he looks, no matter how he dresses, how is his heart? No matter where he walks, if the heart is not right, the life is not right. And listen, you can't have a relationship with God and he won't correct your motive. You can't have a relationship with God and he won't change your priorities. There is something about the word of God. Not only does it cleanse your mind, he will correct your goal and then he will make you whole. If we are not whole, we will do everything, but we will do it from the wrong place. So, for the people in the world, once I'm performing well, I'm fine. Once the opinion of men about me is okay, I'm fine. Have you noticed that some of us, what makes you happy is how many likes you hit on Facebook? If I put a post and then I go back and check it, if nobody liked it, it means I don't have value. If they liked it, then I'm so valuable. If anybody ever said any bad thing about that comment, then I'm not valid. It means you are deriving your self-worth from what people say. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to derive my self-worth from the word of God. You can derive your self-worth from the experiences that happen around you. Do you know, if you don't have a child, you can suffer from low self-esteem. I'm talking from experience. If you come around where people are that have children and they're talking about school run and talking about that, all of that, and you know, some people can be very wicked. do you understand what I'm talking about? If you are not married, if you are not careful for women, you can have low self-esteem when you come about your friends who are married. You can even drift into jealousy. And angry with God that even this girl that does not know how to pray is even 5 years married, you are still waiting. It means that, so when you come around those people, say, I want to just go and just get away. My husband just called. If you are not careful, you can even get angry. I'm gonna keep quiet. Those of us who don't have us, may we go die. Hey, am I talking to someone? You can go home and go and drink something for this case. You can even say, all my friends, They are speaking against me. They are angry with me. They are not happy with me. I am worthless. I am useless. Why? Because you don't have husband. It is not having husband or not having husband that determines who you are. Who you are is much more important than all of this. Oh my God. Let's move on. Who I am is based on people's opinion of me. How does God define? Now look at this. Good external appearance, star performance, admiration, accomplishment, certain amount of status that and the recognition it brings. Once I have all of this, I'm fine. So when you're talking about the word of God, say, what are you talking about? I'm fine. I don't really need God in my life. I have everything. Now, everything, having everything does not define you. What defines you is who do you call yourself when it has to do with relationship with God. That's where we're going. God's definition. What God's truth says, not my performance or what others say, my self-worth. What does God say about a woman who doesn't have a child? What did God say? Sing, O barren. What does the world say about people who don't have children? I remember when I didn't have a child, when my husband is going anywhere, I won't agree to go. You know why I didn't want to go? The question, how are the children? I didn't want to go. If they're having family, in fact, there was a wedding that happened in my mother-in-law's family. I didn't go. There was nothing. I didn't tell him why I wasn't going to go. I said, my head is paining me. My waist is paining me. But this one is paining me. I didn't want to go. Is he quarreling with me? No. At that particular point in time, that there was no child around me crying made me feel small. Hello, friends. Let us lift up our hands. Say, Father, show me how you see me. Shout it again. Shout it one more time. For young men growing up in Nigeria, your friend, both of you just finished school, and he traveled overseas, and the next time he was coming, he comes with very fine wife, two beautiful children, with very beautiful accent, and then with two cars. He just completed one house. He's about to start another one. And then he comes to visit you, and you're still living in face me, I face you. The moment you see him from a distance, you first of all dodge. Because we tell ourselves that where I am defines my importance, defines my value, defines my self-worth. Ladies and gentlemen, who you are is not what is happening around you. Who you are is someone that people are not seeing. Your body is not the true you. The true you is much more bigger than what they see on the inside, outside. What you're having on the outside is just an experience that will change if you understand how to recalibrate and use what you have on the inside to change what is happening on the outside. So many things can talk to us. So many things can make us change our mind. So many things can make us change our mind about life. It was Papa Chidime that was telling us there was a pastor's meeting. And the person that they came to preach for is his son. And all the people who came were bishops. So at the end of the meeting, he said he was sitting down with one of his friends. And he told his friends, let us leave here. They will soon pursue out of here. He said, no, they won't pursue me. This boy that we preach for, he's my boy. He's my boy. I was the one that led him to Christ. Pastor said, they will pursue us. So he said, they can't pursue. Do you know who I am? They can't pursue. Pastor said, okay. Papa said he left to the back of the church and was watching them. When it was time for the bishop ceremony, they say, if you are not a bishop, please stand up and leave this place and go to the back of the church. If you are not a bishop, please. And they started chasing them. The man said, no. Papa said, if the way he stood up, if you see the way he walked out of that place out of in anger, and where he was driving, Papa said, he saw him and he thought he was going to have an accident. The next month, he became a bishop. He called for the ceremony. Come and ordain me. If you are not careful, what you are seeing around you can make you call God devil. It's important that we understand who we are, so that no matter what you see on the outside, you don't shake. You are not troubled. You know that though I don't have it now, it's just a temporary time. This will also change if I keep my focus looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Did anybody ever tell you that as a Christian you won't go through things? If they told you that, is a lie. Did anybody ever tell you that as a Christian that some things will not happen? Things will happen. But the point is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You must understand your relationship with God is resource. So what makes the difference? What makes the difference between you and any other person? Your relationship with God. Who you are in the context of your relationship with God. That's what makes the difference. The entire difference. That's why I'm not jealous of you. So we're not talking about self-worth. We're talking about God's worth. What is your worth before him? What do you think? How does God look at you? He says you are the apple of his eyes. The fact is that we have to use all of this to renew our minds. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me tell you something about rejection. If you are rejected, you can reject yourself. If someone begins to call you a name, after some time you can begin to call yourself that name. If you find out that somehow, something is happening around you, and you can't find that thing in the Bible, you have a right to stand with the word of God until what is written in the word becomes what is happening in your life. How does it happen? It's not magic. Christianity is not magic. The word of God is the truth. For the truth of the word to become a part of my life, anything you are exposed to, you become. Anything you are exposed to. The Bible says, with patience, possess your soul. As long as you can patiently wait, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This me I'm looking at is not the true me. This is the me that have been revised by my circumstances, by the decisions of men, and by the fact that I'm living in a broken world. I can change what is happening around me. Yesterday night, the Lord was talking to me. He said, each time you pray, you ask me for my face. Each time you pray, he said, beyond my face, there is also my kingdom. You know the difference? The face of God is, Lord, I just want to see your face. I'm crying for intimacy. Then from intimacy, there is the kingdom. He says, ask me, I will give you the kingdom. The kingdom has different aspects. And one of the aspects of the kingdom that we know is dominion on earth. That sickness does not have any reason to dominate my body. That you cannot begin to give instruction to hypertension, give instruction to disease. You can. See, when you see disease in your body, you can now tell disease how far to go. Beyond this, don't cross. You can put those fences. It is given to you to do. It is an aspect of the kingdom. You can enjoy it on earth. But for it to happen, you must know the truth. What is the truth of God concerning your life? What did God say to you about 2018? For me, he said, one, relationship. Two, my voice, clearly. Three, mentorship, what are the things the Lord said to you? Because if you find it, you must now find the scriptures that go with it. Then you will sit down with it and use it to renew your mind. If it's not in your mind, it can't be in your hands. If you don't have it in your mind, let's look at this. When there is a presenting problem in your life, peel away the onions and see what's beneath the dysfunction. Look at how life works. If there is any problem with your relationship, it's not the relationship. If you're having problem with any human being, it's not the person. Beyond that relationship, there is a way my behavior can impact you. There is a way I can behave towards you. It will determine whether you are coming to help me or not. It will determine whether I will allow you to love me or not. If God told you to minister to people, your behavior will determine whether the person will come close or not. Paul said he's an apostle to the Gentiles. In other words, God sent him to the Gentiles for the Gentiles to allow him to minister to him. Paul himself, his behavior must allow that. If you're going to do business with me, your behavior determines whether I will allow the business to happen or not. If you're going to marry me, your behavior determines, at the core of the behavior is your emotion. Your behavior will impact your emotion. Your emotion will impact your thinking. Bottom line, core beliefs. Everything core beliefs. What do you believe about the devil? A woman came to me, she was not feeling well. And I said, have you gone to the hospital? He said, Mama, it's not hospital matter. He said, 4 years ago, I was in a dream. A young man came and spit into my mouth. He said, this cough I'm coughing, it started 4 years. I said, have you gone to the hospital? He said, no, doctor can't solve it at all. I said, at least let us go to the hospital to check whether there's... He said, no, it is not hospital. It is prayer. Pray for me now, I will be well. There's nothing wrong with prayer. But is anything wrong with going to the hospital? Sometimes, most times, the challenges we have with our identities are core beliefs. What you believe about marriage. Marriage, then they carry on here. If it heavy you, you do like this and remove it. Men, they know they take them serious. You put them here. If it heavy you, small. Am I talking to someone? That's the challenge. The core values we have about money. Some of us say money is everything. No, money is not everything. There is something better than gold. Sometimes we need to sit down and ask ourselves, you see, when we're doing our healing, the first thing we attack is beliefs. What do you believe? This belief you have, where did it start? The moment you can correct the belief, you can correct every other person. Somebody say, I have a problem with my father. We say, it's not the problem with your father. Where did the problem start? By the time you drill back, you discover there is a belief that was destroyed somewhere. Until the belief is restored, it's difficult to restore the relationship. Lift and say, Father, show me what I believe about life. Lord, in 2018, in 2019, reveal to me my core beliefs. Let's say it again. Say, Father, in 2019, reveal to me my core beliefs. Father God, in 2019, show me what I believe about you, what I believe about life, what I believe about everything happening to me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, show me what I believe about my nation. Show me what I believe about raising children. Show me what I believe about my life. In the name of Jesus. The conclusion of the matter. Do you have fears? If you have fears, what brought the fear? Many young people today are afraid of their future. I'm afraid that this thing I'm doing today, it might not lead me anywhere tomorrow. A young man threw away a relationship because of 15,000. Someone came to him and said, you see this work you are doing? These people you are doing this work for, they don't love you. Your child will soon start going to school. You won't have money to pay, and the child is not going to go to school now. You won't have money to pay for this child's school fees. You will soon be poor. Look at me. I have left them. The boy said, I thought about it. I became afraid that really my future will not matter. And he forgot. These people have done this for me. Someone says, I'm going to take you somewhere. Where I'm taking you today, they'll be giving you 15,000 every month. When the boy was talking to me, he said, as he was talking to me, fear gripped my heart. And because of that fear, I made a different decision. How many times have we made a wrong decision because of fear of the future? Fear that when I get to the future, I might not be able to take care of myself and my life. A girl said to me, anything I see, I will marry. I'm afraid that I might become old and I won't find a husband. I said, how did you? He said, Mama, the Bible says he that finds. I said, I thought it was a man. That he said, since no man is finding me, let me just find one for myself. Hello, friends. If you find husband by yourself, you will maintain the husband by yourself. Anything you use, if you use your body to find a man, you must use several bodies to maintain him. But there is a way. The Bible says he that wants friends must show himself friendly. There is a way to conduct yourself. The other person will speak. No, it's not going. It's not going before the person to. I should go deeper. Yeah, not serious. Now, it's not going to, some of us, it's not going to cook. You cook ukodo today. You say, I brought you your best food. I brought you your best food. Then the next day, you go with another one. I have discovered that it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Friends, this whole thing about Christianity is about us changing our core beliefs. The more I have discovered, the moment your beliefs change, everything will follow your beliefs. And how will your beliefs change? Do Bible bath. Take the Bible and begin to use it. There are some stories I will tell you, you feel sorry for me. When we started ministry, some mistakes we made, very expensive mistakes. While we were pastoring, doing church ministries, someone came and said, you couldn't pay your bills. I will do this for you. After some time, we discovered that we have gotten to a place where we couldn't say anything the person says, we say yes. Even if it is something that violates scriptures. You know why? Somewhere in our core beliefs, we didn't truly believe that God will source the ministry by himself. The God that put you in this place, in this world, he can look after you if you trust him. The God that put you in Benin City, the God that put you in Nigeria, listen, he hasn't forgotten you are here. Some of us, your husband died while you were just a very young. I know a woman in this church, Pastor Tony's mom. The last child was 2 weeks old when the husband died. She practically went mad. When I met her, she had her office at where you have, was it Union Bank? Union Bank, ACB at Ring Road Junction. Pastor Tony's mom will go around Ring Road 10 times, she won't remember to enter the office. But look at a few days after. I want to lead us in prayer. God can't lie. He will look after you. But it's time for us to change our beliefs. That's how to work on your identity. Begin to pick up the word of God and change your perspective, your mindset about life, about money, about marriage, about relationship, about everything, until you can look at it and see it from where God is seeing it. The day you realize, hey, I'm a son of God. See, it's a revelation. The day you just wake up like this, you're thinking about fear of money. No, I'm a son. Fear of the future. No, I'm a son. I won't take care of myself. He will take care of me. Automatically, the indices around your life will change to correspond with the fact that I am a son. Rise on your feet. Our prayer this night is very simple. Lord, I ask you, let my beliefs fly before me. Let my beliefs fly before me. Lord, show me what I believe so that I will stop wrestling with who I am. So let's begin by thanking Him for life. Thank you, Father, for my life. Thank you. Thank Him for life. Thank Him for life. Thank Him for life. Lord, thank you for my life. I didn't create myself. You created me. You have plans for me. You haven't forgotten that I am here. Thank you, Father. And then I like you to just begin to say, Lord, I want an encounter. Reveal to me how you see me. Reveal to me how you see me. Show me what you see when you look at me. Lord, show me what you see. Lord, when I'm afraid of lack, show me what you see when you look at me. When I'm afraid that I might not see a wife, a husband to marry, show me what you see. When I'm afraid that I might not have children, show me, Lord, show me what you see. Lord, show me how you see me. Show me how you see my future. Affliction will not arise a second time. Affliction will not arise a second time. Oh, shalababalaka. Lord, show me what you see. Affliction will not arise a second time. The miscarriage will not happen again. The children that died at stillbirth will not happen again. Yes, it won't happen again. I believe it won't happen again. The thing that stopped my mother will not stop me. Oh, some of us unconsciously we feel that God is not enough. You know the prayer we're praying, Lord, just open your heart. Let me see what is in your heart.
To see things like you do, God, I look. to you. Your way my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.